Let's bring it back, Gil. So
yeah, let's get into it.
This is we gotta discuss where have we been. And I think in the last episode we said like, oh, there's no promises. We might not come back, because when you say like, oh yeah, we're gonna get back to things here in a minute, or are we gonna get back in routine, then it never happens. And so we didn't say that, and we did come back because here we are. But it took a while, to being honest.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've both been kind of busy. You got married and a cat.
I got
and,
two cats.
I've been busy. Two cats. Yeah. See, so we got a lot going on.
I just I got the other one like 3 days ago or something. So it's being introduced to the home, which is, you can't just throw two cats together. Apparently, it's a process.
Yeah. Oh, really?
But yeah, so we've been busy, but also I want to use this to segue into podcasting. It's not hard like that anybody can do it, but it just sucks. So for example, right now my wife has a friend over, and I was like, cool, I'll go to this like little clubhouse area of the apartment that I live in, and it'll be great. And I go there, and I just forget that music plays all the time. So it's like, all right, that's not gonna work. And now I'm in the bathroom. I'm in like my bathroom. I've got like kind of my jacket on the floor just to reduce sound, but it's probably fine. I think I'm okay, but still, I'm just literally sitting in the bathroom with my like whole setup going. This is just like, you gotta get.
It doesn't sound echoey or anything.
I think
sounds
I'm okay,
good.
But just the you gotta be in the right place. And then like we were talking about before we started here, we're trying to mix things up and maybe reduce editing or reduce like difficulty of making a show. But we gotta get on the same schedules, which is hard enough. But that's kind of okay. But then you can't do it on mobile because the microphone doesn't plug into the iPhone. You can't. Like you need like a secondary backup recording, which we kind of like and have through Discord here. And it's just a pain. And I guess that's just my feelings.
For as huge as podcasting is, the tools to actually do it are awful. So you've got to like mishmash all these tools that are meant for like producing music or, you know, whatever else to create a podcast. There's like nothing made for podcasting. I'm recording on voice memos. You're recording in Logic. We're recording in this like chatbot thing in Discord.
It's like a random project.
All these things are meant for other things.
It could be. Yeah. I think it might be kind of for this podcast, but it could be, you know, support could just be dropped anytime, and it's free. And there's like, is there no business model? So I don't know how long Craig is going to stick around our tool in Discord. But
yeah, and somehow in 2020, there's like no good, like internet still drops. Voice chat for some reason is impossible to master. There's nothing that will record our tracks individually then sync them back up. So the recording that's kept in Craig is like the recording that we're hearing. So any delays or something, it's just like, seems like these should be much more simple problems to solve.
Right. And we put our podcast, like our platform is Anchor that publishes them. And you can record through Anchor on their mobile app. But like I said, difficult to get a microphone to work, or at least our microphones to work that way. And that actually in the mobile app won't store your local audio. So similar to the quality we get if we just use Craig, because what's actually happening is you get the compressed thing that's being sent over Discord. And there's literally, you know, when you talk on Discord, your little icon lights up, and that's all that Craig records. He doesn't get the silence and the little subtle noises, which is actually great for editing, but it's just not the best end product. So it's just Discord, and that's why we use Discord, because of all the things except for a damn landline telephone, I think it's the best way to go. And of course landline is better, but I don't have landline. And like podcasting actually almost was better to produce back when POTS, I think, is what, the plain old telephone system or something like that. What were you gonna say?
I was just going to say that Discord is like the best that we've found as far as the recording and the audio quality. But even it sometimes has this like these artifacts, or like it does this like weird ting sometimes when like when the connection's not perfect or if it's catching up. So it has these like weird quirks too. It's just a weird thing that's not perfect. Like you said, you have to use like analog something, which is to get like a perfect audio like conversation. And it's just crazy.
Yeah, I think I talked about before about using a phone system, because at one point I looked into like ham radio, because it's just literally direct connected. And yeah, that just, to not get into it again, it doesn't work very well.
Yeah. I've looked into that too. You have to like pass a test, learn Morse code and all this stuff to get a ham radio license. Yeah.
But that brings me into our one little change, which may be, ultimately right now we're not doing anything very different except for when I edit this, I'm going to try Descript, which, you know, shout out to them. And also Anchor actually has been a really good tool. And Craig is probably the best one because it's free. Craig is this little guy that sits in Discord and listens to us, who I think we didn't start.
I don't think we did. Yeah. Well, we can start that now.
I'll keep going here. So Craig is our little Discord tool. Anchor is our publishing thing, and it has a lot of other tools and like a Patreon clone kind of thing built into it, and you can set up ads. It's actually great. And the last thing and the new thing is Descript, which is like, it's just such a well done designed platform from my first impression of like, this is dedicated software for podcast editing. And the biggest thing that it does differently is you edit a transcript of the audio and it snips up the audio. So like you'd basically just edit it like you would a written out speech or something. And then it, in theory, clips it all together perfectly.
And the coolest thing is that you, like if you say something wrong, like I just kind of did, you can go back and edit it, like the words, and it uses your same voice.
So I looked, it does say it on the website, but it's somehow really hard for like everybody I think thinks that it has that right now, and it's actually in beta, because even I thought that, and I looked wait, it says beta, and that's why it's like kind of lower down their webpage. But they are I don't know the full story, but it's like mega computer machine learning type stuff, and that even might have probably been the whole basis of the company, I think, maybe. I don't know for sure, but it just seems like that is a really powerful tool. And once they get that out of beta, that is like mega game changing, almost can just write out the whole podcast. And then, you know, like in theory, you could have a podcast, transcribe it, you know, have it in a low quality conversation, have it automatically transcribed, and then have the automated voices read it out in high quality again. Like,
yeah, just start stealing like blogs from other people and turning them into your own podcast.
Yeah. And we had a little conversation about this yesterday, but oh man, you get deep fakes on the voice, which is like definitely happening. You've got video deep fakes, which I think is a little bit harder, but it's still even like to an extent as it is in Snapchat right now. And just these things are going to become more and more accessible, and add that in with kind of like just general like artificial intelligence. Like there's software that can write little articles like in your tone, or I don't know if you know what I mean. You kind of have an idea of what I'm talking about.
I know that Adobe has a thing for voice replacement, but no, I don't think I do.
There's videos out there with deepfake where it's like they make a person seem like they're saying something, or it's just a totally made up person, and it's like they're talking. And it's really hard to tell. And then there's also just like the level of, you can kind of throw previous stuff that you've made at an, at a piece of software, and it doesn't work amazing right now, but you can generate blogs or whatever that are written in like your style and everything. And so it's like, you can automate your actual personality, have it read in your voice without actually saying anything. And then like, very soon, and really already, you can then have it even read by you, which is like pretty crazy stuff, pretty cool for like content, and then also pretty like terrifying for, you know, what is real in the next decade.
Yeah. I think that there will always be ways to tell. Like, I think the same tools that you can use to create these things, you'll be able to kind of, like, if we, as long as we know how they're created, I think that there will always be a way to figure out whether or not something is completely fake. Like, have you ever seen Captain Disillusion on YouTube?
Yes, one thing ever.
Yeah, it's a really cool channel, but he kind of talks about this for a video in one of them about deepfakes and how you'll always be able to find some kind of artifact. you know, I guess I shouldn't say always. I mean, we don't know what's going to be in the next like 10 or 50 years, but at least in the foreseeable future, there's always going to be something left behind these, at least as of now.
Right.
But it's still super scary because like you can just like put something in a meme and people will believe it. So can you imagine what will happen if you like actually have somebody that looks like to the people on Facebook, you can get people like mass populations to believe something because you've, you know, spent an afternoon on $1,000 computer creating some sort of deepfake.
Yeah, or Snapchat, or maybe like TikTok or whatever the kids use now. I don't know if TikTok has like fancy filters. They probably do. But yeah, cat and mouse on figuring out whether it's real or not. And then, like you said, it doesn't ultimately matter too much as long as the general like large majority of people see it and believe it and don't look too deep into it.
Yeah, that's the scariest part. That's the thing about like artificial intelligence, and people underestimate, I think, how dangerous it could be. Like, I don't think artificial intelligence are going to have robots walking in the streets, but I think very easily some sort of artificial intelligence could just persuade the whole world to do whatever it wants, whether or not it's being led by, like, once artificial intelligence has some sort of agenda, it can take over, like use processing power on thousands of computers to create deep fakes and convince people, like change people's minds on these big political issues. Like it could get somebody elected to president, or it could get somebody removed from office. Like once you can poke at these, like the individual fears or whatever of each individual person, you know, you can pretty much do whatever you want.
Yeah, that's the thing that comes to mind immediately is like presidential. You know, the one coming up, and it's like, what could, at one of these years, Gil? I don't know. Well, I guess depending on who you ask, maybe it was last year, but something's going to happen sometime where it's just like this massive, just, you know, a group of technically literate people come up with some kind of really just capable way of convincing people to vote a particular way or not. And it's like, you know, did that basically just happen with Cambridge Analytica? Probably. But I think it's going to keep happening, and deepfakes is probably somewhere sooner or later down the line is going to be a factor.
Yeah. I mean, that was, we know, highly effective, and it was like easy stuff. That was not even as crazy as it could get. Like it was just the beginning, basically.
Yeah. And that was a proper company too. I'd love to see, an impassioned college hackathon participant could come up with in, you know, a couple of years.
Yeah.
Or like a PhD student, like that their PhD is, oh, I got this president elected.
That would be insane.
All right. Well, we are at maybe like 14 minutes here, and keeping it on tech, since that seems a little short. For those out there, if I don't cut this, we're talking about having kind of shorter episodes going forward that are basically just our long episodes chunked up. But just to give this one a little bit more meat, we can transition into, I guess, another tech thing, which would be, I forget, it's called Control Labs. It's called Control Labs. And so we're late on the boat to this one because I don't hear about things in time. I don't pay a lot of attention to news, but you know, whatever. I think this is cool, and I bet most people, or a decent amount of people, haven't heard of it. Control Labs company that basically just makes this little wristband is their big deal that reads the, I don't even know, what nerves in your wrist. Do you want to pick it up? I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah, so basically what it is, it's like their whole thing is about reducing the delay, like input delay. So humans can consume lots of things. Our input is very, very fast, but our output takes a long time because the only way we have to interact with technology is through typing with our fingers. So I think their like long-term vision is to be able to control things reading your brain waves. But what they released, I think in like 2008, is this thing that connects around, it's like a wrist strap that goes around your wrist and measures different activity, like different muscles firing, and you can control things on a computer. So you can have this thing on your arm and you could type on a keyboard that's maybe just like printed out on a piece of paper, and it knows where your hands are and which muscles are firing and which ways to control like how you're typing.
Right.
That's obviously the same thing as typing, but like if you're doing something like controlling a prosthetic or moving 3D objects in a computer, that's where the speed goes up. And then obviously it, once they can actually tap into your brain and decode those sorts of things, then our output is going to significantly increase.
Right. So I want to say it was like later than two, maybe it was 2008. I don't know. But maybe like 2014 or?
Sorry, 2018 is what I think.
Oh, okay. I mean. Maybe you did say that. But yeah, so it, not too old, but this stuff is just crazy. And a couple of things that jumped out at me were, for one, so this is a big Elon Musk thing. You know, he really wants to, he says like very directly a lot of times that, you know, he wants to reduce the output, because input is pretty good with vision. And like he said, it's just increasing that output so that humans can like keep pace with just artificial intelligence or whatever comes next. And kind of the crazy thing about this technology is you don't even, so like you said, paper keyboard, but that doesn't even need to be there. And you just pretend, and you know, as long as you're hitting where right. the keys would be, which a lot of people touch typing basically can do, it's, you know, you don't get the feedback because there isn't, there's this technology doesn't have any component that gives you
like haptic feedback.
Yeah, I mean, like obviously the long-term thing is to have it feel like there's a keyboard there and there just isn't. But then that's, you really get into yeah. at least what I think is you need, I don't know, maybe you could do it with something on your hands, but basically I think you probably need some kind of neural implant kind of thing to trick yourself into thinking that there's real physical stuff there. But this just,
yeah, or some sort of like exoskeleton, which would be maybe too yeah. much.
But so this, it's just seeing the motions that you make, and it says, all right, I know exactly where that hand is, and it's accurate enough that you can type, which is pretty crazy. It doesn't have any cameras. It doesn't need any cameras. It just has basically this one wristband. I think in a presentation, the guy said that you can have it learn this in like 60 seconds or something, like basically no time at all of like training. Cause you know, it's like, well, it works really well, but how long did you spend training it to your particular movements? But no, it's like almost nothing. And
in one of the videos, they show the setup process of, I forget what the exact gesture was, but it was just like one gesture, like have your hand facing up and down and doing, pointing like two fingers forward or something. And like, then it was just ready to go.
it's pretty cool. And I should know yeah. better, but it,
imagine getting that into like VR, and then you can manipulate type on keyboards in VR, or like have individual finger movement like inside a virtual reality.
Yeah. And it's the first thing, or one of the big thing about it too, that they kind of like get to through it, is you don't actually need to make the motion. So it's like, you know, imagine person in a giant mech suit, and they have to move like the same way as the mech, and like,
oh yeah,
you know, how do you walk? Because then you're just gonna walk out of the suit, basically, if you have to walk when it walks or something like that. Or like in a game, if you wanted to be like a soldier or any kind of character and you walk in real life, you're gonna just walk into a wall. But this stuff is cool because you kind of like can train yourself. So they have an example where if you hold your own fist and try to extend a finger, even though you don't move, the finger on the screen moves. But then if you like kind of, I guess, think about moving your finger, you can actually move the finger on the screen, and without restraining your finger, it won't move. So it's like this new way of thinking, and like almost, this is what I feel like is going to make me feel really old, and like all the kids are going to know how to do really well, and I'll be like this complete amateur yeah. over here that I can't yeah. control.
It's going to be like texting from 2009 yeah. or whatever, how like all the kids are good at texting and all the like old people don't know how to do it. And that's going to be it with control labs in like 5 years.
Can you write out like a sentence without looking at the screen? Like look around you while you're walking and like write out a couple words and have decent accuracy?
Yeah, but I get a lot of help from autocorrect.
Right. Well, that's fine. That's part of the solution. I mean, that's part of like the typing experience, and if it works, it works.
My biggest issue is I always hit the period button instead of the space button, so it throws off all the autocorrect. I do that even when I'm looking half the time.
It'd be cool if somebody made one that was dedicated to not looking at. What I've always really wanted to is like, if you could keep the phone in your pocket and just whenever you start a swipe gesture for your keyboard, if it would, you know, just wherever you put your finger down, it immediately assumes that that's like the top left corner. And then you just do the gesture because like, as long as you know where you started, you can kind of do it. I think that would work well.
Yeah.
And you could like totally type with one hand without anyone knowing.
Yeah. One of my favorite keyboards was the BlackBerry keyboard because you could type that with one hand without looking pretty easily. Hmm. And it was... Or even just the nine, just the regular keypad was pretty cool.
Yeah. I didn't really go to the...
They're pretty easy.
I didn't have a BlackBerry one. I don't know that I even ever had a physical keyboard that wasn't like T9 kind of stuff.
My original cell phone was a Nokia 2260.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Middle school, I did a lot of like buying and selling of phones. So like I would buy other people's phones and then sell them to other people, and then I would just use like the nicest one. And I remember one time we were at like a parent teacher conference thing, and some guy walks up and hands me $50, and my mom was like, what was that? She like thought it was a drug deal. I was like, no, I'm just selling phones.
Just got a underground phone market going, no big deal.
Yeah.
But anyway, getting back to that technology, it's something. And I believe it was purchased by Facebook, right? Do you know if that's right?
Oh, really? I didn't see that, but...
I'm remembering
it
that.
It sounds like they'd be interested in that.
They have to be. It looks... I don't know. I keep thinking that there has to be something that doesn't work as well as they say it does, or it's harder to do that. But I think that they just cracked it with relatively simple, cheap sensors. And like, they even sold developer things and all that. So it's like, it seems very... real deal with people that know what they're doing, and man, is that gonna be
interesting
to see kind of like just go along.
I think the like reading your mind directly is much further away. Like they talked about that in a little bit in their like intro video or whatever, because I'm assuming what this thing on your hand is doing is just like, you know, listening for maybe electrical pulse or just movement in your muscles. But, you know, reading your mind to say, click on this thread, type out Craig, record, and then move over, like open up these five windows, like those sorts of things would be awesome. But I feel like that's really far away. They kind of pitched it as if it were like not too far, though.
It kind of sounds like if you did the same thing, but with a headband, it might just be a lot harder, but possible. Because what my understanding of what they did here is they just have a little sensor that reads, I don't know, it's probably like IR or something, and it just gets back little pulses of, you know, just like a, what's the thing, that like a lie detector, you know how there's like that wave thing? They probably just get back some little waves and maybe like a couple. I'm not, if it's not clear, I don't know anything about this, but they're only getting like a couple pieces of data back in like a timeline, right? And normally I think that that's garbage and useless, and I think actually they even had a slide about it where it kind of showed the rises, like the peaks and the, like when you were doing something or whatever. But I think it doesn't work at all unless you throw machine learning at it like crazy, because they said it was like this big problem that was like very difficult. And I think it's just so noisy and difficult unless you basically have the computer work out what means what. And it sounds like that's what they did. So it's like two parts of the sensor thing, but then also it's kind of possible these days because you can just figure out what means what by like machine learning, just figuring out the algorithm kind of that reads the data.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet it's, I don't know. I guess we talked about like the setup process earlier. If anything, I bet that is where they're like kind of, I don't know if I want to say cheating, but like cheating the most is the setup. Because like you said, there's got to be so much noise and everybody's going to be so different. And I just find it hard to believe that it's really going to be that easy to set up for everybody.
I mean, I'm suspicious, but
yeah,
I don't know, like 5 years or something. It sounds like you could create something that even if it was just really limited to like simple gestures to control your phone or something, it sounds like a big deal. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I would love to see this in, like, they showed prosthetics as like an example, but I would like love to see this like just built into the prosthetics and not like a hack together thing. I think you could make that a full product and that would be awesome.
And of course I was thinking about like, okay, where does this lead us? And VR is pretty cool. There's a new term, Gil, that I keep seeing on the internet. Maybe it's old and I'm just old and I don't know things, but people say full dive. Like, so that's like means VR that you're totally immersed in and you get all the sensory input and it's like, you know, just fully an immersed virtual reality experience that you basically just feel like you've magically been transported and you're in this other world. Like,
is that something that exists?
No. That's just like what people, I keep seeing comments like, oh, is full dive going to be possible by the end of my life?
So they're thinking Ready Player One.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Ready Player One level type stuff. But then the other thing that's kind of cool is like, I forget what movie it might have been called, Surrogates, but like where there's those robot surrogates that people have. And I don't know, I think the plot was somehow they start dying in real life or whatever. But it's basically like people control robots that go out and instead of them. And that is also pretty possible here, where like if you can not move in real life and move a thing.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of allows for some interesting possibilities and
kind of like Matrix mixed with Ready Player One kind of thing. We're all just like sitting in our pods living in this virtual world.
But what this guy kept saying that was like really interesting and makes me think mad scientist is, I think it's the CEO or whoever was on stage, was saying like, you could control an octopus. And it's something about like brains are relatively like adaptable. And so if you just kind of like, again, my understanding is like if you woke up in an octopus body like magically, you wouldn't know what you're doing for like a couple minutes, but then you would figure out how to be an octopus like maybe over the course of an hour or something. And it's just, you know, here's all my inputs and I've got my like eyes or whatever an octopus has, and you see how it works. And basically it sounds like you could map the brain and all this kinds of crazy, like, you know, if you just map different human outputs or different neurons or whatever, like he was saying basically like you there's even muscles that like don't exist in you but like your brain could activate basically. So like you could just make people super good at being like a spaceship or a car or something, and it'd be controlled in this totally new different way, which is a pretty cool far out thought. I don't know,
not to reference another YouTube video, but Smarter Every Day did a video where he reversed the direction of a bicycle. So when you turned left, the wheel turned right. And when you turned right, the wheel turned left. And it like took him like either a week or several weeks, but he finally was able to just ride it like normal. But it was like he just couldn't even go a foot when he first got on it. But then after a week, he could ride it fine. And they went back to a regular bike and he couldn't do that. So it's kind of like the same kind of like your brain just can adapt to whatever it is pretty quickly.
Yeah, but it's a super interesting area that I know nothing about, but it's like skateboarding and whatever. Like I can now ride a skateboard and I had no ability. And even if I just switch feet, like I can't do anything.
Oh yeah. I ride goofy. If I try to do it the regular way, I like can't do anything.
It's just like crazy how I don't even think it's a lot of physical stuff with like your muscles getting toned or whatever. It might be a tiny part of it, but I really think it's almost entirely just your brain gets like, oh, okay, this is kind of how I have to control this.
Yeah. I could be completely wrong, but I have like a vague memory of reading about or seeing a video about how like the way that our eyes work is we like the image is actually flipped like on the back of our eye, but our brain turns everything back upside down. So if we wore glasses that flipped everything upside down, eventually our brain would turn it back right side up.
I've heard that and I've wondered about that, and that doesn't sound that hard to do. I wonder if anybody's ever done that.
Yeah, I'll have to look for a YouTube video after this.
See how long we can do it, Gil. It's just, yeah, You know, next time we record, just do that until then, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, it sounds like a bit of a commitment. Like you'd have to do it for a while, I would assume, but yeah. That would be pretty cool.
We're getting a little off track, but I've always wanted a technology solution to just basically see myself in third person, because I think that would.
Oh yeah,
that'd make it like every interaction, or even like basically, I want to see what people see whenever they happen to be talking to me, or like the closest person to me. I just want my vision to be their vision, because that would be.
This is turning into like the YouTube stuff that Gil watches at 1 a.m., but there is another YouTube video from Corridor Digital where they like kind of do that with a drone. So a drone follows them and they have the goggles on from the drone, like in the third person view, and they like try to go around and do things.
You can't do it for very long that way, but and you got a drone playing, like that's a talking point. Yeah. Like, oh, what's that? That's my third person drone.
Yeah, it wouldn't be, you can't like go to the mall like that.
I bet you could do it like with even just cameras. There's not a big market for this, but eventually I feel like yeah. If you just have enough cameras, or just cameras and like a, you know, smart tricks with software, you could basically do that thing that cars do where like they can, have you ever seen there's some cars, can you do that top down thing where you see like, you know, everything around your car as if there's a drone over it. But some cars have this freaking thing, Gil, where you can, it's like Lincolns or Mercedes. Some have this feature where you see your car in third, like as if you're standing outside the car looking at it, and you can spin the camera around the car.
Oh, I don't think I've seen that. I have seen the first one where you said you have like the top down view of the whole 360, but I haven't seen the.
It's pretty uncommon because it's not really useful, but like they've done it and it actually like works pretty well. It's just as if someone had a camera walking around your car, you saw it inside it.
Have you ever seen the videos that Tesla will release of like their like machine vision stuff of them driving a car like down the street, and just everything, how quickly it detects all the little paint on the roads and all the turns and predicts like the hills and like all this kind of stuff?
I probably haven't paid enough attention. I've seen like these little videos, but yeah.
So I'm sure mixing that kind of data with a 360 video like of the car, you could probably stitch all that together.
Yeah,
in the third person.
The thing that makes it easy with a car is like no parts move, and so you can just basically like those top down things are literally just like four cameras stitched together with a certain like warp on them, like effect, so it looks flat.
Yeah, there's a lot of really cool 360 camera stuff going on YouTube that I see, especially compared with drones.